The Successful Micropreneur Podcast is sponsored by Liberty National Bank.
Thank you for joining the Successful Micropreneur Podcast. Each week, we focus on sharing stories and statistics on micro business owners. Those are small businesses with 20 employees or less, and that includes the solopreneur. My name is Mary McCarthy, and I'm the owner of YMT Consultants, an entrepreneurial training and consulting firm, and the host of the Successful Micropreneur Podcast. Sales. It's one of the toughest aspects of small business ownership, yet it is also one of the most important jobs a business owner has. To help us break down how to overcome the fear of selling is author Amy Franco. Her book, The Modern Seller, is now actually out on Amazon. So Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Please start us out by sharing a little bit about yourself and your sales background.
Sure, absolutely. So I got my start in selling really right out of college and spent probably, let's call it the first 10 years of my career in B2B selling. I worked for IBM and I worked for Lenovo. And I sold technology hardware, and I had a mix of commercial accounts, public sector accounts, but I was really responsible for building that territory, growing that business. So worked for an organization. Mm-hmm. And then in 2007, decided to take the plunge into entrepreneurship. I really took a pivot into an entirely different industry, into learning and development, and started a business, a training and development company. So that really started the shift from that I'm in an organization and selling a specific line of products to a specific set of customers. And that really started my shift into what I call entrepreneurial selling, which if anyone who is a micropreneur, entrepreneur listening, it is, you're really bootstrapping it. You are.
And every single one listening is shaking their head. Yes, right?
Yeah, you're bootstrapping it. You are the resource. You are the seller. You are doing everything. And that's an entirely different type of sale.
So getting your training in sales, I'm sure really helped you, but it's so different, isn't it, when you're selling a product or service for a company than selling yourself?
It is a mindset shift, mm-hmm. and I'm nodding my head while Mary's saying that, but it's a mindset shift, but I will say that the ability to sell is the number one skill that I brought into being an entrepreneur. I meet a lot of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs. They are masterful at their craft, and that's mm-hmm. why they get into the business that they get into. But the selling skill is something that can be uncomfortable, and I'm very fortunate that I had that background before going out on my own.
It really does help. But that is the one thing that I hear all the time is people that have had sales in their background have said, that was easy. But selling myself is really difficult.
It is a mindset shift to be selling yourself, selling your product, your service, whatever that happens to be. And I will say to this day, I still have those moments where I have to kind of work myself through it and realize that selling myself, selling my expertise, that has value. But there are definitely days where I have to get myself back into the mindset because it is different.
And I will tell you, you hit the word I use all the time is value.
Yeah.
If we stop saying it's just us, but selling the value, it makes it a little bit easier. And I will say, I never considered myself a salesperson. I didn't have the training and I was very shy growing up. And I have surprised myself over the years that I've been able to grow my sales skill to the point now where it's fun.
Yeah, right. And I think you hit on something really important, which is some of the best sellers that I know, whether they are in an organization or they own the organization, I think there's this urban legend, if you will, that you have to be the most outgoing, gregarious person in the room to be great at sales, that it's all about charisma. And you talking about how you grew up very shy and learned it as a skill, mm-hmm. you are total proof that it's a skill and a craft. And some of the most successful sellers I know are not the most outgoing people in the room.
It's something that you can learn.
Absolutely. It's something that you can learn, that you can improve on. And if you really come from the place where you care about your clients, your prospective clients, you care about helping make their life or their business better, you're helping them solve a problem, that's a very different way of going about it and thinking about it. And you put process and skill behind it, all those things coming together, that's what makes you good.
So is that what prompted you to write your book?
You know, what prompted me to write my book was probably a couple of things. I really love to write, and I've always had a goal of wanting to write a book. I kind of joke that this entire book was a 20-year goal and a 20-month project. So it's something I've always wanted to do.
Okay.
But I never really, I didn't quite know what that was going to look like. And so the opportunity writing this book, I think, was this combination of always wanting to write a book, but also some opportunities presented itself. Kind of timing was mm-hmm. right to do it. And I was making some changes in my business to really focus on selling skills and selling consulting. And so there was some timing there that really came into play.
Because if we haven't had an IBM training, and my ex-husband had a Xerox training, and it's really a very good basis for sales. But if you decide to start your own business and sales was not something you planned on, but you have to do.
Right.
Where do we go is sometimes the challenge. And there are a lot of books, but sometimes they're a little outdated these days. So much has changed.
And to your exact point, one of the catalysts behind the content of the book was my own clients and selling conversations, my own research. I started to notice some trends, and I'll bucket them. I'll put them into two buckets. The one set of trends was really around what's changing for our prospects and clients, how they're going to market, how they are serving their own customers.
Mm-hmm.
Is changing their expectations of how we serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one bucket of trends. The other bucket of trends were more in the learning and development space. So being 12 years into a learning and development business, starting to pay attention to what's happening there, and to your point on some things maybe being a little bit outdated, I started to notice some kind of skills behind the skills that I was seeing really successful sellers and entrepreneurs put into their toolkit to help them be better at the everyday sales activities that they were doing in their business.
Okay.
So that is really what that realization right there, the prospect and client trends, industry trends, and uncovering some of these new learning and development trends, that was the big catalyst to say, you know what, there's a bit of a gap in the market on these types of skills, and putting them all together into one book, into one place.
Yeah, because your book broke down five different focuses: the agile entrepreneur, holistic, social, and ambassadors.
Right.
So I found those five interesting. Ambassadors was the one that I was most interested in kind of learning a little bit more about.
Yeah, absolutely. That is probably the one of the five that I get the most questions on. So
Okay. Yeah,
we can definitely dig into that one further.
So what does it mean being an ambassador?
So a modern seller who is an ambassador, I like to think of an ambassador like a bridge. So if you think about it in a global sense, an ambassador is a bridge between countries and cultures. Very much in the same way, in an entrepreneurial selling sense, you and I are ambassadors. We are bridges to our prospects and clients. We bridge them to the community. We bridge them to the industry, to other organizations. So we can become this almost like this two-way bridge for our prospects and clients into other areas, business or personal, to help make them and their businesses better. And I'd say one of the hallmarks of someone who is a fantastic ambassador is they are able to take an initial client win, even if it's something really small, and they deliver so well on it that it then becomes a springboard to loyalty and being able to build like long-term lifetime value.
Okay. This break is brought to you by GoHR, a full-service outsourced HR resource for your small business. They can help you with all of your HR needs, from hiring to firing and everything in between. Visit them on the web at go-hr.biz. Remember, you can't go without HR. And we at the Successful Micropreneur Podcast appreciate all of our sponsors who help make this podcast possible. So I want to get back to your concept about ambassadors, because we hear all the time that selling is about relationships. So I'm hearing relationship combined with connection kind of in that description. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I would agree with that. So there is the relationship component and that networking component, and it's being able to take those two things together And then be able to build that relationship so well with the client that they really can't imagine doing business with anybody but you. There are a couple of different hallmarks of a modern seller. One is that you're recognized as a differentiator in your client's business.
Okay, so that's me.
Yep, absolutely. The second one.
I'm going to brag about myself.
For sure. So that's one. The second is that the value of your product or service just isn't fully, the value of it, it's not as valuable without you in the equation because of what you bring to that relationship. And then the last is that the product or service that you are bringing that value to, they see you as a differentiator or a competitive advantage to them. They can't imagine doing business without you. So that's the definition of a modern seller. And then you tie that to being an ambassador. Those things together create long-term loyalty. And a loyal client is 3 times more likely to continue buying from us than a net new relationship.
And it's so important because it makes life easier. You don't have to resell them. You're really continuing the relationship.
We work so hard to earn the business that we have. New client wins are always exciting, but we work so hard to earn the business that we have. If we can focus in continuing to build those relationships and find opportunities within those current clients, we have the opportunity to expand our book of business exponentially.
So I will tell you, getting back to kind of relationship, one of the things that I find, because I've learned that I am actually very good with sales. And I had a meeting not too long ago with a number of different people, and they were all going, well, we'd like to have a relationship, and we'd like to get to know people, and after multiple conversations, you know, then eventually we'll get to the ask. And by that time, I've already had the ask and got the yes.
Right.
And they're still working on it. So sometimes the term relationship in connection with sales actually is a way to say, I'm slowly working myself up to it because I'm not ready to ask. So do you address that in your book? Because I always find that to be an interesting thing, because they were very proud of the fact that they work towards it. And I was like, yeah, but I've already got the yes. So why are you still working on it?
Well, and the fact that you have the yes says that you did build that relationship.
Right.
Because if you didn't have the relationship, the answer wouldn't have been yes. You did it more efficiently and probably more effectively than someone who was taking a really long time to build
that
relationship. absolutely.
Yeah, I liked that answer.
If you weren't showing them how valuable the relationship was, they wouldn't have said yes. You just got there faster.
I did get there faster.
You got there faster. So the specific place in the book that I address that is actually in the social section of the book.
I'm so glad that you addressed it, because we do have to overcome that fear of asking, don't we?
Yes, we do. And this is something where we, in not to generalize too much, but I see this a lot with women in sales and women entrepreneurs. We build and build and build the relationship, and we put so much into the relationship that we sometimes forget to make the ask. Or we procrastinate on the ask because we have built something up in our mind that we haven't earned the right yet to make the ask. So there is absolutely that fear or that procrastination where you continue to add into the relationship, but you don't make any asks out of it. And that's a dangerous place to be because you can't move your business forward with that approach.
Okay.
You'll get stuck.
Well, that's a really good point, isn't it? So if there is one piece of advice besides that one that you'd like to share with our audience as our last question, what would it be?
You know, probably one piece of advice as it pertains to sales, and especially that piece about the ask. So I'll build on that. So if this is something that you feel particularly challenged with, what I like to look at and think about your business over the next year, let's call it, what's the biggest goal that you have for your business in the next year? So for me, my biggest goal this year was finishing the book and getting it launched. Launching a book is selling the book.
It is. It's a lot of work that has to be put into it. Yes.
I could have 1,000 books sitting in my office or sitting at Amazon, but if I don't make the ask and sell those books, they're just going to sit there.
Which, by the way, you did the ask on me, and I bought one, and I forgot to bring it to have you sign it.
Well, we'll make sure we get it signed for you. So building onto this ask, so what I would recommend is think about your biggest goal for the next year. When you have that really crystal clear and stick to one, from there, look at the relationships that you need to build in order to help you reach that goal. Because that will give you a track to run on. If you feel like you're boiling the ocean in terms of building relationships and getting to that ask. So you have the goal, You know what relationships you need to build. And then the next step is to start reaching out to build those relationships and understand what is valuable to the other person so you can give them that value, but also know what you'd like to ask for in order to help you move yourself closer to that goal. And you just have to do it. It's going to feel uncomfortable, but you just have to do it. And once you do it a few times, to your point, you build that muscle and you build that skill and it does become easier.
Okay. So that's a really good point to end on. It will get easier for everyone out there listening. So, and your book can be found at Amazon, you said?
Yeah. So the best place to find it is Amazon, and you can search for Amy Franco and my author page will pop up.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank Amy for joining us today. As micro business owners, it is important to remember that we are the leaders of our organization. There are a lot of business tools available to help us succeed and grow as experts in our field. And it's up to us to avail ourselves of all of these resources as much as possible. Thank you for listening to the Successful Micropreneur Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, like us on Facebook, and share our podcast link with all of your micro business owner friends. Thank you again for joining us today. My name is Mary McCarthy, owner of YMT Consultants, where starting a business is tough and failing a business is unnecessary.
Liberty National Bank is a community-focused bank with 6 locations in Central and Northwest Ohio. You can expect the best from our people and from the range of personal, business, and lending services. One of our goals is to make you a customer for life. Our newest office is in Westerville, located on the corner of Cleveland Avenue and Main Street. Please visit us online at myliberty.bank. Liberty National Bank. Expect the best. Liberty National Bank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.